We come back to questions. I have a question. It's rhetorical. You don't have to answer it. We're not roving mic this time. What does worship mean to you? When I mention the word worship, what do you think of? What does it mean? The second question, does worshiping God change anything for you? When you worship God, does anything change for you? Is it something that we just do on a Sunday morning in church, or is worship much deeper than that? And this whole series in Lent is trying to probe these questions. Hopefully, it's trying to bring us fresh insights in how we might go about our daily lives in an act of worship. So tomorrow's Monday morning, and how will we approach the day tomorrow? Already you've probably got in your minds what you're going to be doing tomorrow. Will you be approaching it? Is it just about getting through the routines? We all have our routines. Is it about getting to those special diary dates? I think Jeff mentioned a few that were coming up during the week. Diary dates that have already been arranged, okay? Is it just about earning a living so that you can live, earning your money? Is it about being at home, keeping the house tidy, preparing the meals and doing things like that? Is it about getting the kids to school? Or maybe in some cases, is it about getting the grandchildren to school? I know that many people get involved in that sort of activity. Or all the other things that go on in family life. If you're retired like me and my grandchildren are rather too far away for me to escort them to school, is it about just finding something useful to do every day? When you wake up, I've got all this spare time, I'm retired, you know, I've got nothing else to do. Here we go. Right. But however we see this week in front of us, has it ever struck you that God might see it differently? God might see it differently to the way that we see it. We might be busying ourselves with our daily routines, running here and there, sorting out the kids, maybe just chilling out, whatever we're doing. But you see, the Bible teaches us very clearly that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. That is a quote from Isaiah. Are we able to catch a glimpse of how God might see our coming week and the things that we've put down in our weekly planners? How does God see it? I'm sure you remember the parable which Jesus talked about buried treasure. And there's this guy, and he's digging a field, he's ploughing a field, and he stumbles across some treasure that has been buried in the field. And I mean, we know that in history such things have actually happened, even in our own country. But after he found the treasure, he was so overjoyed with that find that he did a rather cheeky thing. He buried it again, and then he went away and he sold everything that he got so that he could buy the field. And so he bought the field so that he could get the treasure. Now, that might sound a bit dodgy practice to us, actually. But Jesus was saying it to illustrate a point, that the joy of finding the kingdom of God is like finding buried treasure. And it's worth selling everything you've got in order to get hold of that treasure. It's worth selling everything you've got to get hold of it. As I read through this first chapter of Paul's letter, I've read through it many times. It's a lovely chapter, one of my favourites, I think, in Paul's writings. But I get the impression Paul has found the treasure. He's found that treasure. And he's just overflowing with it. He's overflowing with words of praise, not the bit that we read, the bit before we read today, but overflowing with words of praise, just spilling out of him as he praises God for all that he's done in Jesus Christ. And then there's this prayer for the people in Ephesus, the Christian believers in Ephesus. And again, his exuberance is just overflowing again, his passion, his treasure is just spilling out as his words just tumble out. I wish I could understand the original Greek, because I'm sure it'd be very interesting to get that. But I think the translations give us that impression. all the good things that Paul is praying for them to have, he wants them to discover the treasure. That's what he wants for them, to get hold of that treasure. And you see, Paul's experience was of God's extravagant grace. He knows that he is a forgiven man, in spite of the many evil things that he's done in his life before he came to Christ. He knows that he has been accepted by God, and he knows that he is assured of eternal life in Jesus, because he trusts Jesus. And that was his treasure. Forgiven, accepted, and assured. That is treasure. And he wanted the believers in Ephesus to experience that treasure in its full measure, so that it would just overflow into their daily lives. And that's why he writes his prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, in order that you may find the hope to which God has called you. Find the treasure and know the hope. We've been running an Alpha online course every Monday evening since January. We haven't said so much about it in church, but it's been going on. So only a small small group of us, but there we are. And there are 15 sessions in an Alpha course, and so we're going through them week by week. And three of those 15 sessions are on the Holy Spirit, and we've already covered those. The Bible is very clear that everybody who has put their trust in Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, some people have experienced the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in an almost overwhelming proportions. Now, that was clearly true back for the first disciples at Pentecost, and we'll be celebrating that in a month's time or more. But it's also true for many people today, overwhelming proportions. But as we look at the week ahead, the one thing we can be sure of is that the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Every single one of us, the Holy Spirit is in our lives. We're not alone. How do you feel about that? The Holy Spirit in your life. Do you find it a comfort? Or do you find it a bit scary? He's watching me. Well, let me assure you, the Holy Spirit is certainly not here to frighten us. He's not with us to frighten us. He may convict us of sin. That is absolutely clear. But remember that Jesus described the Holy Spirit as the comforter, the one who brings comfort into our lives. And I think that as part of this role as comforter, the Holy Spirit also brings us a confidence, a new confidence in ourselves, who we are in Jesus Christ. He brings that sort of confidence in faith that John Wesley experienced in Aldersgate. Going to be celebrating that in a couple of months' time. I think that's a church with choices as well, isn't it, Jeff? Yeah, well, Jeff's given me the thumbs up. He's going to be, so look out for that one. Okay, Aldersgate Sunday. But that was a confidence that John felt for the first time in his life. He knew he had been saved. He actually assured that he had found it, and he'd found that treasure, you see. That treasure in Jesus Christ, yes, it applies to me. The Holy Spirit brings us confidence about where we stand before God. I think he also brings us confidence about how we stand in front of other people, so that when we interact with other people, we don't have to be anxious about how that interaction is going to happen. We don't have to be anxious about living out our Christian lives day by day in the way we interact with other people. I mean, sometimes we do feel a bit shy. We're British, for heaven's sake. We all feel that way. But Jesus told his followers, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. He told us that the Holy Spirit will actually give us the right words at the right time when we need them. And you see, that promise is for all of us. It's not just for a few, it's for all of us. Paul also writes here and in other places that the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is like a guarantee certificate, okay? That it's a guarantee of our faith. That comfort, that presence of the Holy Spirit gives us that guarantee, that assurance that, yeah, we belong to Jesus. And that means that we can have confidence in all the things that Jesus promised. We can have confidence that we belong to God, that we put our trust in Jesus, and that we will be with him in eternity when that time comes. You see, our destiny as Christians is secure, 100% secure. We are children of the living God. And that is our hope. That is our great hope. It's our treasure as Christian people. It's something to shout about. It's something to sing about. Oh, now I'm starting to quote a song. Do you know that one? Something to sing about, something to shout about. This internationally famous songwriter who's in our midst, Trevor Ranger, one of his great songs, I think. Paul prays for the Ephesians. Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you can know the hope to which he's called you. And then, so he's asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives so that they can see the full measure of the treasure that he's given. And that's what Paul is praying for us as well, that we can see the full measure of the treasure that is given to us. If we can get excited about it, it will naturally flow out in our daily lives. If we can get excited about the treasure, it will naturally flow out in our daily lives. Okay. So, just take a minute. Look at what you've written on here, on your planner. Just look at it. Look at it while I speak. We had that cartoon video earlier on, and I'm sorry that we didn't get the sound. Fortunately, I wrote down some of the script because I wanted to quote it at this point in what I was saying. So I will say, I mean, you saw this little figure going through and all the things that were hitting them throughout the week and whatever, you know, all this stuff. So many things vying for me, swarming, gathering, swirling, spiraling, fighting for my time, calling for my eyes, clouding my vision, demanding my energy, hungry for my life, shouting loud, storming my mind. Is that your week ahead? Full of distractions, full of stuff coming in at you from all directions. So look again at the planner. Look especially at the names of the people that you will be interacting with. Each one of them is loved by God, whether they know it or not. Each one of them has got their joys, their sorrows, their anxieties, their successes, their failures. All these things are on their minds. And ask the question, how can we, during this coming week, be the love of Jesus Christ in these interactions? Can we even bring the name of Jesus Christ into our conversations? Not in an in-your-face sort of way that just puts people off, oh dear, I don't know about that, but in a sensitive way, a way that is guided by the Holy Spirit to help them to know that God loves them. God loves them. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he starts that great section in chapter 12, which we were all looking at it last week when I was upstairs with Junior Church. I never heard what Andrew said, but just coming back to that section in Romans chapter 12, Paul is referring to the treasure that I've been talking about this morning because he talks about God's great mercy for us. So he's been talking about that, his great mercy, all the wonderful things that God's done for us, and all the other sort of chapters of Romans lead up to highlighting on that. And then he says, therefore, always watch out, when Paul writes, therefore, there's something really good going to come up. Because of God's great mercy for us, therefore, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Because he says, that is what true worship's all about. It's not necessarily what we're doing here on a Sunday morning. It is, of course. This is part of our worship. But offer yourselves as living sacrifices every day of the week, so that you are worshipping God every day of the week in all your times, your interactions. Every day of the week, true and proper worship. So I'm going to repeat again the question I asked at the beginning. What does worship mean to you? Think about that during the week. You might even want to write the question on your paper there. And does worshipping God change anything for you? You see, I hope it does. I really hope it does. I hope that we all are really aware of the treasure that God has given to us through grace in Jesus Christ. And I hope that we are all find opportunities this week to share something of that treasure with other people that we interact with. May God bless you all. Thank you.